while the choir's coming down, take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. I understand yesterday at the John Sevier Chapel Christmas service that they had 60 people come to that thing, and that's amazing. That's outstanding. If you're working with that chapel service, if you wouldn't mind to raise your hand, would you do that if you're working with the John Sevier? God bless every one of you. The Lord's using you in a great way, and we're glad to be able to sow some seed out and about in the Johnson City area. And I hope that you'll be praying much for that chapel service there. Meets every Sunday afternoon, 4:30. And their Christmas service went well yesterday, I understand. God bless them for it. Matthew chapter number 7, we begin our reading in verse number 1. Now, just in case you are keeping up with where we've been preaching through the book of Matthew, if you remember that the last time we came together, I preached on verses 19 to 24. So I know what you're saying. Verses 25 to 34 deals with the sin of worry. Why are you skipping it? Well, the fact is I didn't skip it, okay? I preached on it back in March when I did the Stronghold series. So if you'd like to go back and get that, you can either get it on the website. It should be there. Or if you'll just call in and let us know you'd like a copy of it, we'll give it to you for nothing. How's that sound? Amen. So I encourage you, because worry is something that nobody ever deals with, right? What are you laughing about? I know why you're laughing, because all of us deal with the sin of worry. So I don't want you to think that I've bypassed that. I've just already preached on it back in March. If you want a copy of it, you let us know. I'm not talking about a DVD now. I'm talking about a CD. That, if you'd like to have that, you just call in, let us know. Or you can go on the website. It should be there if you'll just start locating it. Just look under sermons, and Brother Jim McGee might be able to help you with that. So that'll be good. So we've come to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Judge not that you be not judged. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" The Lord has a sense of humor, really, you know, when you think about it. "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Now, if you're in a habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the first two words of this chapter. It's the two words, "judge not." Judge not. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be more like you as a result of this service than when we came in. We thank you for your exalted wonderfulness and greatness and perfect Savior that you've been. Pray if somebody's here that's never trusted you as Savior, that today will be that glorious day. And may you speak to us through your word. Thy will be done. Forgive our sins. Help us to be clean before you. And may you defeat Satan, I pray today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we come to this portion of Scripture in the book of Matthew, we have come to one of the most misinterpreted and misused verses in all of the Word of God. Verse 1, the Lord told His hearers, "Judge not." Now, what does this mean? And what did He have in mind? Did He mean to never judge no matter what the circumstances? Now, if to answer that, you have to take the whole teaching of the Word of God. Let me say loud and clear that this is absolutely not what He had in mind. For consider the following. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul judged a man guilty of fornication with his father's wife. In 1 John 4, 1-6, we see that we are to judge religions to see if they line up with the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20, this same chapter, we'll see later when we get to it, that we are to examine the fruit of those around us to beware of false prophets. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 18, there are times the church must exercise judgment in disciplining a wayward member. In Luke chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus told his disciples that if they enter a city and they say no to his gospel, that they were to wipe the dust off of their feet against that city that rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we see in these verses that there are times to judge. There really are. Matter of fact, have you ever heard somebody say this? Somebody says abortion is murder, and somebody says, don't judge, lest you be judged. Somebody says homosexuality is a sin against God. Somebody says you're not supposed to judge. Don't judge, lest you be judged. You ever heard somebody taking things like that? That is unscriptural, my friends. The Bible says to judge righteous judgment. But there's a particular type of judging the Lord is speaking about here. What is he talking about? Even though we see that in the Word of God there are times to judge. In other words, there are times that we're not just to turn our back and say, well, there's nothing really wrong with that. There are times that you must judge some things. But here, this is very important that we establish from the outset what kind of judging is God condemning here. What kind of judge not is he speaking about? We need to understand that we are to judge those things that are clearly against the Lord and his precious word. However, there is a certain type of judgment that the Lord condemns. Now, what is it? The judgment the Lord is speaking of here. Now, it's very important that you get this, because this is what the whole message is about. The judgment the Lord is speaking of here, now get this, is a picky, fault-finding attitude that has a mean, critical spirit that sees only the bad of others with the intent to condemn them, not help them when there's a legitimate fault to be dealt with. An example of this, I don't want you to turn to it, but just listen to this. An example of this kind of judging is found in John chapter 8, verse number 1 through verse number 11. Listen to this. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Do you see the difference? Did Jesus judge this lady? Yes. But his judgment was to help her, not to kill her. His judgment was to lift her up out of it. His judgment was not to condemn her. These hypocritical Pharisees and scribes, they wanted to judge her and judge her and judge her, and they said, Now the law says, kill her. And Jesus turned it on them and said, What about you? What about your sin? This is what we're dealing with. James, this judgment is a rash, harsh, unjust judgment. It's a judgment of others with no heart of mercy toward them. It's a judgment in order to pass sentence on them, which is trespassing into the realm that only belongs to God. Only God can condemn people. Only God can set people free. And if a sinner condemns another sinner, then that is the judgment God is condemning here. He's saying, don't stand as a ruler. Don't stand as a condemning judge. That is my realm. That's trespassing. And he's saying, I don't want you judging your fellow man. this way. James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? When I was preaching through the book of James, when we came to this passage, I preached a message on private property and no trespassing. And what he's talking about is he's the lawgiver. He's the judge. Don't you judge to condemn somebody. This judgment can also mean a judgment in the areas that only God knows about. Like the person's motives. Remember, he's talking about motives all the way through chapter 6, if you will. Basically, until you get to the worry there. He's talking about, I want you to do things, but I want you to do them for the right motive. Could it be that he's saying, don't judge other people's motives? Don't judge what only God sees. God sees their heart and God sees their motives. You know, many judge others without knowing all the facts. I know that's never happened with you. I know you've never passed judgment on somebody before knowing all the facts. I read a story. This is not coming from me here. The person who put it said that he read about an owner of a manufacturing plant who decided to make a surprise tour of the shop. Walking through the warehouse, he noticed a young man just lazily leaning up against some packing crates with his hands in his pocket doing nothing. The boss walked up to him and angrily said, "Just how much are you paid a week?" The young man's eyes got rather big and he said, $300. The boss pulled pulled his wallet out and pulled out three $100 bills, gave it to him, said, "Here's a week's pay. Now get out of here and don't ever come back." Without a word, the young man stuffed the money into his pocket and took off. The warehouse manager was standing nearby, staring in amazement, right here, in amazement. The boss walked over to him and said, "Tell me, how long has that guy been working for us?" The manager said, "He didn't work here. He's just delivering a package." Now, that's a funny story. But do you know judgment like that of fellow brethren are taking place every week of life? Well, we didn't get a card from them this year. I'll tell you why. They're probably mad at us. Don't look at me like that, folks. You know you're guilty. You may not be guilty of that personal illustration, but I guarantee you one thing. This message cuts every one of us. You ever been guilty of judging somebody wrongly? And that doesn't mean that they're not guilty of what you're judging them for, but your attitude stinks in it. Amen. This is what the Lord's talking about. John 7:24 puts it this way, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." We're not to have a hateful, fault-finding spirit with our fellow man. This is what the Lord's speaking about in our text today. We are to be kind, understanding, and compassionate toward others. One of the easiest things in the world is to find fault with somebody other than yourself. However, for a child of God, the Lord condemns this condemning judgment. A man put it this way, doves, which is a picture of Christians, doves do not live off polluted food. Only the vultures of human life live off the garbage cans of others' lives. John Owen said this, "The nature and end of judgment must be corrective, not vindictive, for healing, not destruction." Another man put it this way, "Christians would never dream of intentionally running down other people with their cars. Then why do they do it with their tongues?" You'd never dream of running somebody over with your car, I hope. Maybe you have. If you have, that's between you and the Lord. Let's keep that secret. Especially if that person is me, okay? I have been standing out in the parking lot lately shaking hands. Maybe I need to correct that. What am I saying? An average Christian will never think about running somebody over with their car, but they have no problem running them over with their tongue. It has no place in a child of God's life, friends. And we're going to get to this. We're going to look at this. There's three things I want to bring out about this judge not. Three things about it. Number one, a caution. Number two, an illustration. Number three, a discretion. First of all, let's notice the caution in verses 1 and 2. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, the Lord shared in these verses that if we judge unrighteously, we will be judged for that. He goes on to say that with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. In these verses, the Lord is giving us a caution, friends. He's cautioning us, remember, you reap what you sow. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. A little boy went into the house and said, Mother, I was out in the yard and called out, hello, and some boy said, hello. I said, who are you? And he said, who are you? He said, I said, what's your name? And he said the same thing. I looked everywhere for him, couldn't find him. So I said, if you don't come out, I'll beat you. Said this little boy, called back and said, I'll beat you. Then the mother said, Johnny, that was your echo. If you had said, I love you, he would have said, I love you. If you would have said, your voice is sweet, he would have said, your voice is sweet. And when you grow up, just remember that that what you say and do to others will come back to you by and by. If you criticize other people and you're wrongfully trying to condemn other people, there'll be somebody do it to you, friends. You're going to reap what you sow. Because I'm going to guarantee you this, there's shortcomings in every one of our lives. None of us are perfect, and everybody can find a fault with every one of us. And if you start fault finding, listen to me, somebody fault finds on you, don't complain. You made your bed, sleep in it. Amen. I'm telling you that if you're a person who is critical of others' sins and shortcomings, it may not be long before others are critical of yours. Spurgeon put it this way, a hard and censorious behavior is sure to provoke reprisals. My friends, if you want mercy, you better show it. Amen. You show me somebody who's constantly, look at what he did, look what he did, look what he did, look what he did. Oh, I can't believe this. I got to tell somebody. I'm not gossiping. I'm just sharing facts. Then don't be surprised if somebody shares facts on something you don't want to be shared. Amen, friends. I mean, the Lord is, he's blasting this is what he's doing. He's saying, if you do this, it's going to come back to haunt you. By the way, the Pharisees were playing God as they condemned other people. Remember, that's God's property. A human being can't condemn somebody, friends. You can try, but that's God's private property. God only knows if they're forgiven or not. God only knows what their motive is or not. God only knows what their heart is through it or not. You don't. So let's keep our mouths shut. Unless in love, I'm getting ahead of myself, after we've dealt with our own, we try to help them through it. Now, they were trying to condemn other people. But the Pharisees who were trying to play God never considered that God would judge them. See, Christ is the one who will judge the heart, Colossians 3, 22 to 25, Romans chapter 2, verse 16. The fact of the matter is, the one who criticizes will also be judged, friends. Proverbs 29, 26. Let us therefore be careful that our judging is righteous judging and not the type the Lord condemns here. Why? Because we're all going to stand before the judge. And I've got enough in my life. Thank God I'm forgiven. I'm never going to meet my sin. But the judgment seat of Christ is not going to be a cakewalk for Christians, friends. I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. Because basically what he's going to do is judge our motives. Is it wood, hay, and stubble? Or is it gold, silver, and precious stone? I'm not looking forward to that. So the last thing I want to do is judge somebody when I'm going to be judged myself. This is the caution. Number two, he gives an illustration. This is found in verses 3 to 5. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, the second thing we see in this text is an illustration for us to consider. Notice in these three verses how the Lord uses the illustration of a person who has a beam, a light pole, a 2x4, some huge piece of wood sticking out of his eye, but he's casting judgment on somebody who's got a splinter in his. Then he brings out how could somebody tell his brother, hey, now listen, the Lord has a sense of humor, friends. He really does. Let's just take something right here, okay? I hope I do this and don't break this. But anyway, let's say that I come to you and I've got this sticking out of my eye. Okay, there it is. I mean, it's planted in it, right there it is. You know they say a picture's worth 1,000 words. This is worth 2,000, okay? There it is sticking out of my eye. And I come to you and say, and I mean, I have to come all the way down here to you. That's getting heavy, by the way. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let me put that down. This is better. Here it is, sticking out of my eye, okay? There it is. I come up to Brother Graham, and I say, there's a speck of dust in your eye. Let me help you get it out. You need to get take care of that, Brother Graham. I can help you. Now look at me, friends. I know it's crazy. I know it's funny. I'm a nut. I understand all that. But how ridiculous is that? What is he going to be thinking? You think you know how to take a speck of dust? Good night. Look at the boulder sticking out of your own eye. The Lord says this. Before you can help somebody, you need to take care of yourself first. Now, I might just carry this the rest of the time here. You may not remember anything but the stick, but you know what? That'd be enough. If you don't remember anything else but this stick I've got in my hand, you know what this represents? My faults. And when I see myself the way that I should see myself, others' faults are just a speck of dust. Mine's a humongous limb. This illustration he's showing us. He says, if you're a person like this, he said, you're a hypocrite. Verse 5, thou hypocrite. That hypocrite, remember, is one who wears a mask. It's one who's pretending. He's an actor. He says, listen, you need to first take care of your own problem. Then you'll be able to clearly see somebody else's. Now, notice this. He does not say in verse number 5, don't cast the mote out of the other. He doesn't say, don't cast the mote out of your brother's eye. He doesn't say that. He says, you don't do it first. He didn't say that there wasn't a mote there that needs to be removed, and he might need help to get it out. But he's saying there are so many people like this just saying, shame on them, shame on them, shame on them. Look at that. I can't believe. Look at that little speck of dust. I can't believe that they're allowing it to stay in their eye. And the whole time, the person who's saying it's like this. Like that. You know what God's saying? God's saying that's the judgment I'm condemning. I am condemning somebody who will try to condemn somebody else when they're just as guilty, if not more. He's saying, look in the mirror, pull it out, and then when you take it out, then try to help your brother. You get it? This is what he's teaching. Is it good to try to help somebody get a mote out of their eye? Yes or no? Yes! But only after we've taken care of our own beam can we see clearly to say, yes, that is against God, but I want to help you with it. I'm not trying to condemn you. This is something that we know is displeasing to God. Will you let me help you? Let me show mercy on you. Let me help you take care of this. But only when your own life is clean. Which means we're not going to spend too much time with motes, friends. Because we fall short every day of our life. Somebody put it this way. While we look at the way some people dress, act, and at outward signs of sin in their lives, we are often blind to the prejudices, hypocritical spirit, and other sins that lurk in our own hearts. Spurgeon put it this way, surely if I know myself aright, I need not send my judgment upon circuit to try other men, for I can give it full occupation in my own court of conscience to try the traitor within my own bosom. He's saying, I've got a traitor living in myself. Why am I concerned with somebody else? There was a person that put it this way. He was reading. He said he read yesterday a very sad and a fatal accident where four young girls were driving down a motorway and the car crashed and they were all killed. Evidence that drink was the culprit was found in a broken whiskey bottle lying among the debris of bodies and blood that was found. In anger, one of the parents, one of the fathers, one of the daddies, was heard to say, and I quote, if I could get my hands on the person that sold this drink to these young people, I would kill him. However, when that father went home, he opened a cupboard in his room, the cupboard where he kept his drink. And there he found a note in the handwriting of his daughter which said, Dad, we're taking along with us some of your good drink. I know you won't mind. I know that's an extreme illustration. But are we not guilty of the same thing? I can't believe that they let bitterness swell up in their hearts and just ruin their life. And many times the person says that is bitter about something else. You know what God's saying? God's saying, get honest, friends. Your brother's not that bad when you look at yourself in the mirror. The Sermon on the Mount's tearing me up. I'm telling you, I know I say it all the time. God Almighty, this is the power of God. God's saying, take care of the beam, friend. Then you might be able to help somebody with the mote. Don't look with a critical, condemning eye at your brother. There's nothing wrong with trying to help somebody remove a mote from their eye for their good and God's glory, but only after we've taken a good look at our own faults, which most times are greater than theirs, first, and we deal with them. Someone put it this way, when we criticize others, it reveals a flaw in us of not loving our neighbors. Romans 2:1, Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, doest the same things. One person put it this way, there's so much good in the worst of us, and so much bad in the best of us, that it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. Number one, caution. You judge, you reap. You sow it, you reap it. And you have a judgment day with God. Don't forget it. Number two, illustration. Stop looking with a critical spirit at somebody who has a speck of dust in their eye and you've got a beam hanging out of yours. But then he comes back in verse number six. Somebody says, what does verse six have to do with anything? Verse six has to do with the discretion. Remember how I opened this message telling you that there are times to judge. Remember that? He's giving another one here in verse 6. He's wanting to make sure that people don't take this as a blanket statement. Don't judge. You're not supposed to judge. Don't you ever judge. You judge, you're going to be judged. That's what the Bible says. Verse number 6, he gives a discretion. Look at it. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, turn again and rend you. And you say, Jody, he's talking about judging, he's talking about the beam in our... What in the world does that have to do with anything? He's saying, when we get to this verse, don't be confused about the judgment that I'm talking about. It seems as if he changes focus in this verse. We must keep in mind that there are certain times we are to judge righteous judgment. In this verse, the Lord is bringing out how even though a child of God is not to judge unrighteously, this does not mean that we're not to use discretion when it comes to the things of God. The Lord tells those listening to him not to give holy things to dogs or cast pearls before pigs because they'll trample them under their feet, they'll turn again and rend you. Now, one man put it this way, both dogs and swine were regarded as unclean animals under the Levitical code, Leviticus 11:1-8. Dogs are ready to devour anything, be it the choicest morsel, or the filthiest thing. Swine are more openly unclean, loving to wallow in the mire. By the comparison of dogs and swine, the character of false prophets stand exposed, because God's people are never called dogs. God's people are never called swine. God's people are sheep, not dogs. Doves, not pigs. The thought here is Jesus is saying, don't you judge somebody unrighteously, but don't you walk through life with a blindfold on. He's saying, you have a discerning spirit in your life that when you have valuable, holy things, when you give it to somebody, if they prove themselves to be dogs and swine who want nothing to do with it, they care nothing about it, they are snubbing their nose at it, we are not to share God's holy things with people like that on a continuous basis. This is what he's teaching, friends. He's saying, if you come upon somebody who displays... Now, question, is it God's will for every person to hear the gospel? Yes, because in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But are there creatures out there who want nothing to do with it? I'm talking about somebody, they hate it, they don't want anything to do with it. I mean, it's over. I mean, they can't stand God, they hate God, they've given their soul to the devil. There are people like that. And God's saying, if you come upon a person like that, you give them the gospel. But if over time they prove themselves that they don't appreciate it, they don't want it, they're just stepping on it, and they come back and try to harm you and hurt you along the way, turn them over. Now, folks, don't you agree that you need a discerning spirit to be able to do that? I might be speaking to somebody who has a wayward child, and you're thinking to yourself, that's my boy. He don't want anything to do with God. May I say this to you? Don't take this verse and say, I'm just going to turn him over. God will show you when that time comes. Amen. This does not give you the liberty to give up on somebody. That's not what he's teaching. He's teaching here that we are not to take something of so much value and continually throw it to somebody who's just going to step on it and just going to try to eat it, but they don't appreciate it. For instance, the Lord refused to answer the religious leaders trying to trap him in Matthew 21:23-27. Remember when they said, by what authority do you do this? And he said, I've got a question for you. The baptism of John, was it of God or was it of men? Remember the story? And at the end they said, well, if we say it's of God, they're going to say, why didn't you believe? If we say of man, we take John to be a prophet. So they said, we can't tell you. You know what Jesus said? Then I'm not going to answer your question. Read it yourself. You know what he was doing? He wasn't casting his pearl before swine there. You understand? It takes discernment. It takes discretion. Remember, the Lord Jesus also refused to speak to a man by the name of Herod. When he stood before Herod, Herod wanted to see him, hoping that he would see some miracles, remember? And yet the Bible says in Luke 23:9 that as Herod spoke to him, he spoke not a word to him. You know what he wasn't doing? In that, he was not giving that which was holy unto dogs. Acts 19:9 says this, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. In other words, they were given the gospel, but they didn't believe it, and they start speaking evil of it, and all these other kinds of making turmoil. Paul, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Proverbs 23:9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he'll despise the wisdom of thy words. Matthew 10:14, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. That's what Jesus said. He's saying, I want them to hear it, but if they prove to be dogs and swine and all they're doing is just lifting a turmoil, they don't want anything to do with it, they're blaspheming, they hate God, he says, shake the dust off your feet. The book of Luke puts it this way. He says, shake the dust off your feet, but you tell them, be it known, the kingdom of God has come near here. This is an illustration that'll kind of summarize it. J. Vernon McGee gave this. said, I remember a Tennessee legislator friend of mine who was a heavy drinker. He was wonderfully converted and is a choice servant of God today, but the other members of the legislature knew how he drank. Then they heard he got religion. That's what the world calls it, you know. We know we don't get religion. We get the Redeemer. Praise God. One day this fellow took his seat in the legislature, and his fellow members looked him over. Finally, someone rose and addressed the chairman of the meeting and said, I make a motion that we hear a sermon from Deacon so-and-so. Making fun of him. Everyone laughed. But he said, my friend was equal to the task. He got to his feet and said, I'm sorry, I don't have anything to say. My Lord told me not to cast my pearls before swine. And he sat down. And they never ridiculed him again. Now, folks, listen, please don't misunderstand this. This does not mean you give the gospel one time, they snub their nose. They're swine, they're dogs. Forget them. That's not what God's teaching. He's talking about false prophets. He's talking about those who don't want what you have to offer. They are trying to convince others there's another way. They're refuting what you're saying. I'm paraphrasing here. If you find somebody who is so belligerent against the gospel and they're so antagonistic and they take it when they hear it and they just blaspheme it, that is a dog, that is a swine, and take your pearls elsewhere, because those pearls, somebody's going to appreciate it when they don't. So why keep wasting your time casting the pearls there when all those pigs do? I mean, imagine a pearl, taking a pearl, throwing it in, I'm talking about into the pen with a pig. What's a pig do? Man, that's beautiful. Hey, honey, come over here and look at this. No, he doesn't appreciate it. He doesn't even know what it is. He might smell it, thinking it's something to eat, but before he long, he knows you can't eat it, so what you do, he just steps on it. You don't cast holy things to dogs. Why? You take a hungry dog, especially back in this day. I'm not necessarily talking about the one that may be in your home today. I'm talking about back in this day. Dogs were very, very, most of the time they were very wild. And you cast some meat, whether it's meat that cost $100 or meat that cost nothing, what are they going to do with it? They're going to devour it. And God's saying, what I did for them is much more precious than gold. Use discretion in what you do. Now, in these verses before us today, we've considered how the Lord is displeased with judging others before judging self, with a self-righteous, critical, and condemning spirit. Pharisees in this day judged others to make self look good, while Christians should judge self to help others look good. It's been said here, those closest to God are loving, forgiving, and anxious to lift up, not tear down. And let us constantly look into the mirror of God's Word to pull beams out of our own eyes instead of judging motes in others' eyes. Could it be that somebody needs to come today and say, God, get this beam out of my eye, it's killing me. And then help my spirit to be yours. You know what his spirit was? John chapter 8. A woman taken in adultery in the very act. She was guilty. But yet Jesus, with those who are judging like he's condemning here, cast them out, if you will. And then he came to her and he said, where are your accusers? Who is he that condemns you? Yea, Lord, there's none. And the Lord of glory says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Don't do it again. But I'm not going to condemn you. Aren't you glad Jesus is like that? Where would we be if he wasn't? Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness. Help us to love you. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe you. Speak to our hearts. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I ask you this question today. Are you ready for the judgment of God? We're all going to be judged by an all-knowing God. Those who are lost will not go to heaven. Those who are saved will go to heaven. Do you know for sure that heaven is your home? Do you really know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure without a doubt that if you die today, that you would go to heaven? Is there somebody here today say, Jody, I can't say that. I can't say that. You say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to know for sure that heaven's my home. I'd like to know for sure that I'm saved. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? You say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm a Christian. My eyes are surfing. I'm looking. They're beginning to play through softly. Maybe God is dealing with you. Maybe God is dealing with you. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to us today and says, judge not. Does this mean that we're never to judge? No, because remember he told us, don't judge according to appearance, judge righteous judgment. Could it be that God is speaking to you? Do you have a beam in your eye? Do you struggle with judging others? Do you need the Lord to give you discretion with somebody that you've been dealing with? Could it be that God wants you to turn them over to Him? There comes a time for that, you know. But I would not encourage you to do that unless you have clear direction from God. He'll tell you when that time comes. And you say, Jody, I'm tired of judging others. I want to get the beam out of my life. You know what the beam could be? It could be this judging spirit. It could be this critical spirit. And you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to get this beam out of my eye. Be honest. Be honest before the Lord. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, Jody, I have a tendency to judge people wrongly. May God help me with this. God bless you. God bless you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Father, take it. Use it in a great way. In Jesus' name. Brother Gary's singing, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, maybe you need to come and join this church, or maybe you need to be saved, or whatever the case may be. You come on as Brother Gary sings. You come on. Would you do it? Come on.
Search me, O God.
There are times to judge. Playing through softly, you can look this way. We're dealing with one right here. How are you going to apply this to your life? Remember what I'm training the church here, teaching the church. Don't just be guilty of coming to hear the Bible, but take the Bible and apply it to your heart. What's God telling you to do with this? The fact of the matter is He telling you to turn your back on sin and never say anything about it and just act like it's not going on? You never confront sin or sinners? That's not what He's talking about. You judge righteous judgment. But on the flip side of it, there are people every now and then who kick the traces. They make a mistake. They do something wrong. And there are Christians out there who condemn them. There are Christians out there who have been saved and delivered from the condemnation of the devil, who have the audacity to say, I can't believe they did that. Can I say something to you? That's the judging God is talking about. If you ever have anybody come and they get something right with God, or the case may be something like that, and anybody ever looks down their nose at them, God help you, friends. God help you. Because you reap what you sow. Amen. And it's only by God's grace that we don't keep falling flat on our face, friends. You're going to fall. You're going to trip every now and then. But if every time you see somebody else trip, you're saying, ha, ha, look at that, I can't believe it. Oh, he doesn't deserve another chance. She doesn't deserve another chance. That's terrible. Wait until you fall. And don't be surprised if somebody says the same thing about you, friends. I want mercy. Do you? You know how you get it? Blessed are the merciful. He just said it in chapter 5. Blessed are the merciful. for they shall obtain mercy. I'm telling you, I'm encouraged today with how the Lord deals with us. You come to Him, we're sinners, all these kind of things. He's a forgiving Savior. He's a God, going back to the book of Jonah, second chances. Many of us are on more than that, aren't we? May the Lord help us with this. Miss Judy, do you have something there for us? Brother Wade, if you want to come on up, I'm going to call the church in the session. We just got one item to do here. We have John Green. John, if you wouldn't mind to stand just a moment. And his son, Jeremiah. These are precious people, especially Jeremiah.
I'm just kidding with you, Brother John.
They are both wanting to join our church. Now, Jeremiah is 6 years old, and he has trusted Christ as his Savior, correct? In the home. He got saved in the home. Wonderful. And he wants to follow the Lord in baptism. And his daddy is coming to join our church by statement. That's a great thing. And how are you happy for this? Would you say a big amen? Could I get the pleasure of the church? Could I get a motion that we receive Jeremiah on his baptism and his daddy on his statement? Brother Ira, Brother Earl, second. All in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. If you do, shame on you, right? Brother Wade, let's take care of this and we'll be on our way. I did.
All right, good deal. The pastor and deacons recommend that Mr. and Mrs. Sam Snyder, missionaries to Islands of Kibosh, be accepted at $100 a month. I make this a motion.
We had this young couple with us last Sunday night? Time flying by for me, but anyway, I feel very confident in this young couple. He's at 98% support already, getting ready to go to the Islands of Kibosh. There's not one gospel preaching church in all those islands, not one. And now we're going to have the opportunity to send an independent Baptist missionary to plant a church in a place that has no gospel preaching church. That's exciting. And I hope you're excited about it. What's the pleasure of the church in this, that we accept them for $100 a month? Brother Steve, could I get a second, please? Brother Pollard, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. Cantata tonight, don't forget it. Pray for the prison service tonight, and that the Lord will meet with us in a great way, all right? I'm going to ask Brother Jess Phipps, if you wouldn't mind, sir, to lift your voice and pray for us. I need to dismiss the meeting. Could I get a motion that we adjourn, please? Yes, a second.
Great. All in favor, bow your heads, close your eyes, and hopefully you're back tonight, okay? God bless you.